This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We are with former felony prosecutor and attorney Eric Faddis right now. Rex Zimmerman is the topic at hand. In Las Vegas PD, their DNA lab is now conducting a direct comparison this week against Rex Zimmerman's DNA and the DNA recovered in a case of a woman who was murdered several years ago, a New Jersey mom, Victoria Camara. The results are expected in 6 to 8 weeks. I imagine this is probably not the first, not the last of a lot of comparisons that are going to be going on here. The fact that this is being a direct comparison with DNA, does this put any more weight on it in terms of that they got this far to make the comparison? Or is everybody just kind of doing their due diligence and taking a look at every cold case that sits out there that looks like it could possibly have some sort of relation?
Yeah. So, you know, forensics have really advanced within the past 20 to 30 years or so. And really what a lot of jurisdictions have are databases of DNA material, even from a lot years or decades ago, that they have preserved until the time at which they could properly test it and compare it with other samples. And for Rex Zimmerman, that time is now. And so unfortunately for him, Las Vegas is doing that DNA testing. And I've got to imagine a number of other places that have cold cases like this are going to compare the DNA they preserved from these cold cases years ago to Rex Herrmann's DNA that he provided in the New York case and see if there's a match. And I wouldn't be surprised if more criminal cases come forward based on those potential DNA matches.
Yeah, it would not be surprising at all. I know there's four essentially in the queue from Las Vegas is what we're hearing, that I guess depending on what this one shows, if they're going to be moving forward with the others, I would think they'd be looking at any possible connections there. Let's say he does show up in as a match with other murdered victims in other states. Is that likely then going to make this into several trials in several states? Does that make this a federal case at that point because it's crossing state lines? How does that all work?
Yeah, so oftentimes, especially with homicide cases, the state often elects to go forward on the charges and not federal. It depends on circumstances, but usually the idea is that, you know, this happened within the state's jurisdiction. They should be able to handle it how they see fit. Here, we've got potentially multiple murder cases across the country. And so what I'm guessing is that if more cases come forward in different states, I imagine those cases will still remain at the state level, but that they could certainly incorporate evidence from a different state in which Rex Zimmerman is also facing a murder charge, if the prosecutors can show the connection sufficiently between those alleged acts, those alleged murders, and show sort of a thread that weaves throughout them, show a modus operandi, a way that Rex Zimmerman went about killing these folks that establishes that it's him in all circumstances, according to the prosecution. So that's kind of what I'm guessing is going to happen, is that they would remain at the state level, but perhaps work collaboratively to try to get this guy behind bars or underground, depending on the jurisdiction.
I'm curious to get your outlook on how the family of Zimmerman is handling things right now. There's been some pushback from one of the attorneys representing some of the Gilgo Beach murder victims, expressing concern about the GoFundMe that is now up, raising the concern that the Zimmermans have an $80,000 tax levy against them right now, and where exactly those funds are going to be going or really need to be going. It's also been brought up that on paper, from what is out there, they do appear to have some wealth, several million dollars, actually. Now, we don't know how that's all laid out. We don't know if Rex is the one who controls all of that and the wife and the kids are stuck, you know, destitute with no access to any of that. I want to preface it that way. But what do you say about the optics of the family right now and how they've been handling things? It does seem like there's a push to gain money from the public, and also just some of the odd behavior of we want privacy, yet we're going to sit on our porch all the time and taunt the press.
Yeah, you know, I think with some of the GoFundMe stuff with the family, I think they're kind of preparing for what they could see as the inevitable, which is, you know, this patriarch who is bringing in gobs of money, like you said, millions of dollars, is going to be gone. And so I think that they're kind of doing is planning for what their future is going to look like. And then you may have seen, but certain family members have actually retained attorneys. And so they've lawyered up. And so is that because they're worried about some sort of connection or association with what happened? Is that because they just want to protect themselves in this terribly chaotic time? I don't know. But it certainly is curious that they've retained counsel, and counsel has in fact made a couple of statements to the press regarding all of them.
Yeah. In cases like this, where you have one member of the family, one spouse that's doing something absolutely horrendous, allegedly, and then the others, from what we know, are clueless, didn't really know a whole lot, certainly not enough to really speak up or say much. When it comes down to it, those finances, obviously you have attorney fees, and there's going to be a lot of fees just to stay above water. If you have millions of dollars, that might pay a lot of it or most of it. You may not have a whole lot left, especially on a case of this level. But do the courts look at the family a little bit differently if there is joint money, joint accounts, joint tax returns, things of that nature, and have grace for a family that really has, that had themselves completely blown up? It was only one person who was committing these crimes. The other three do rely on that money. It is money that I know they were all working. So was his wife. Do they have grace at all with funds and not simply take them all or spread them out in terms of compensation for victims, considering that in many ways, the family themselves, if they have nothing to do with this, would be victims as well?
Yeah, you know, in my experience, with almost every legal matter, there's what the law says, right? And then there's, you know, the human component. And judges, at least most of them, are not immune to that, having that human component. And so my apprehension is that the courts are going to see this family as kind of just in a horrible lose predicament. And are they going to, you know, have that mindset when making determinations on funds? And, you know, if there's a civil suit, which I would expect, yeah, from the victims' families against Rex Herrmann and his assets and his family and his joint funds with anybody. You know, I think once it comes to the civil side, I think the laws and the court is going to be less sympathetic in terms of how that money is potentially attached and where it goes. And, you know, millions of dollars, especially now, and talking about legal fees, that's not going to go as far as a lot of people think it's going to go.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Brewski.